Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place of everything related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring another special guest. His name is Oz Merchant, and he's the CEO of EcomSeller HQ, an amazing new solutions to basically put you everything on a hub when it comes to what are some of the best solutions out there for you, Amazon and e-commerce sellers. We know sometimes as founders, it's very difficult to really find, you know, what is the most reliant solution out there when it comes to specific services that we might need for business. And this new offering that comes to the community, I think is key to make sure that when you're working with somebody, you actually also reading the feedbacks, you know, and the experiences our sellers have been having, because we all know there's a lot of noise out there and sometimes it's difficult to really come up with the best people. So, Oz, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today. How you doing, my friend?
Great, great, Vincenzo. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. We actually been on each other for a couple of months now. We saw each other, I think the first time we saw in person was in Miami.
And then Prosper again, right?
I'm Prosper, yeah. We already have crossed our paths. So for those that might not know you, just give us a briefing about yourself. I know you had an extensive entrepreneurship journey, also specifically in the Amazon space. So tell us a little bit about that. And then, of course, we dive into the new toy. Yeah.
So I've been, I like to say I've had three chapters in my life. Chapter one was I was in retail, wholesale, and manufacturing space. So really brick and mortar stuff. So I've had experience from commerce from that side. Then I got into high tech space. That was kind of chapter two. And then chapter three has been e-commerce, which is interesting because it combines kind of both that commerce from brick and mortar standpoint and the high tech into one platform of e-commerce. So it's been an interesting journey, kind of getting to know the e-commerce space. And it's just changing so much year over year. There's nothing stagnant about this space. So it's been an interesting process of just trying to stay up to date, keeping up with all the changes. Who's coming out, who's the new players in the space, who's kind of figuring things out faster than others. So it's a learning process. It's a fun ride.
Yeah. I think when it comes to e-commerce, you know, things change so fast that and it's happening to me. Sometimes 1 or 2 weeks I disconnect from the news and you come back and everything is different, right? Especially with the AI, you know, AI has been making things so fast when it comes to, you know, strategies and new technologies and solutions out there that, it's something that I see with all the founders. Whenever we have a conversation, every single month we have something new that we're playing with, and that's the beauty of this business. Now, talking about, you know, I want to dive in a little bit more about, the new company that we basically introduced, EcomSellers HQ. So I think it's an amazing thing because, as I briefly mentioned, it's tough for e-commerce sellers to really find, you know, the best solution for their business. And I think now having everything in the same hub is something that, you know, is going to make the transition into a solo entrepreneur to, you know, building a team and so much easier. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what is the goal behind EcomSellers HQ?
Yeah. So the mission idea, I'll go back a little. So as I was getting into the e-commerce space, as we talked about, there's so much change. There's so much to learn. There's so many different events happening. I was just constantly taking notes, building out a spreadsheet. Okay, how do I take all this in? Who's doing what? Who's because there's some overlaps, or, you know, a service provider may do this, but they're also doing three other things. So who's kind of the best company for this, the best organization for that? So as I was starting to make this spreadsheet, and as I was talking to clients, basically so much of that was, you know, giving them guidance on, well, use this for that, go take a look at this, talk to this person. So how do I take all that out of my head and just build a platform out of this? Because everybody's running the same issues. So whether, and I've done kind of presentations on Discords and different Reddits and stuff, so I'm seeing all this information scattered. So how do you bring all that together so that makes it easier to find? I think the last statistic I'd heard was like about 3,200 new sellers get onto Amazon every day. Now, that's granted, 97% are gone within 6 months, but maybe that wouldn't be the case if they had kind of the right resources and kind of the right help to do well. I mean, you know, granted, some of that's just because of the hype. They saw a TikTok ad or Instagram ad, and now they think they're going to go make money on Amazon. But, you know, there's still a lot of legitimate people that could do really well in this space if they just had kind of access to the right resources.
Yeah, and I think that we can use that point right there to maybe talk about some of the maybe tips or high-level consideration you would recommend people to come up with, a trusted partner. Because I'm sure when you were building this platform, you came across, you know, what is the criteria that will define a good service provider, essentially an expert in the field. So from your experience, like, and I guess what I want to come to is in terms of, you know, what are some of the tips maybe you can give to Amazon sellers watching this today in terms of how you can identify red flags, right? When it comes to working with somebody, do you have maybe some advice you can recommend when it comes to that?
Yeah, so I have to say, compared to other industries, I've been surprisingly, maybe not e-commerce as a whole, but in the Amazon space, has been very collaborative, meaning like there's a lot of people that are willing to help, which has been really great to see. Now, in that process, everyone's kind of have a, you know, different perspective on it because this, they've used these two or three things, and that's where they have expertise in. So they're going to recommend. So, if you know, ideally, if you find somebody, if you're, you know, working with a thought leader, somebody that is kind of your community, that you're part of a community, it's best to kind of take their guidance because they know how to go execute and be successful with those particular tools and applications and those strategies. But with anybody I've seen kind of on this journey, they'll move from kind of one community to the next because as they evolve, you know, maybe they start off doing arbitrage and then move into wholesale, then they're ready to go, you know, launch their own brand. So they're going to go find new kind of people, the mentors and stuff to work with. So as you're going through that journey, find, you know, what works for you. And with, I think, anything around entrepreneurship and kind of business owners, the idea of, you know, strong opinions loosely held is the notion, meaning that, okay, this is works for me right now, but isn't the final be all end all. It's okay, where does it get me to? What's the next milestone that I'm trying to hit? And is it getting me there? So if you're thinking about it that way, it's okay, did it serve the purpose I had for it? It got me from A to C, and now I'm ready for something else, some other set of tools, some other partners that will get me to the next level. So that'd be, I guess, the key thing is, you know, find somebody who's aligned with kind of what your outcomes are for that part of that journey. That journey will evolve over time. You know, the journey of getting to six fig is very different than getting to seven fig and getting to eight fig.
So, yeah, for sure. And I think that's super important, defining goals, because I feel sometimes, and I talk to founders all the time, when they're trying to lay down the foundation in terms of what are my priorities in terms of my next step, sometimes they're trying to make steps that you should only be concerned about that if you are a seven figure, eight figure, as an example. Like, I don't know, things that come to my mind is like they haven't even started and they're already thinking, oh, I need a CFO or I need an HR team or things like that. Like, guys, it's like step by step. Maybe you don't see the light or you don't see the path yet, but it's taking small steps and laying the foundation. So, you can then see what is the next turn, right? And with that in mind, like, I think going back to e-commerce HQ, I think something that would be interesting to also take from you in terms of a take is, let's say when a seller is looking to find a partner, right, and looking to work with somebody to help them on a specific area of their business, are you also a big believer that sometimes certain partners are more experts when it comes to, you know, startups, to medium business, to bigger businesses? And if that's the case, from your experience of working with so many partners, how you can identify the right ones when it comes to that.
Yeah, I mean, it helps to, you know, two things. One is you need to know and have understanding where you're at. And it's ideal if the partner also has an understanding of what their strong suit is. Because, you know, if they don't know how to, you know, get to somebody that's nine fig, and they've never done that journey, they don't have other experience with that journey, then they're not going to make a good partner for you for that. So, you know, as a partner, they should also know, okay, this is where my strong suit is. This is where I can be the most helpful versus there's other people that can hopefully help you get to that next journey. You know, on the consulting side, where I focus on typically is, you know, about under 10 million. So that sweet spot is maybe 500,000, 1 million to about 10 million. It's stuff I've done a lot of times. I know kind of, I have the kind of the networks in place. I know the kind of resources and a lot of the experiences and journeys you'll have. 10 million to, you know, 20, 30 million, it's a different kind of journey. You're going to have different sets of resources. You'll have more teams built in place. You'll have more infrastructure. So you want to, you know, think about, okay, where, what am I trying to get to? And what kind of infrastructure do I need to have in place to get there? And it may not be a lot, but it may be, you know, certain systems and processes you do need to have.
Exactly. And something we actually were discussing before going live with this is like sometimes there's also financial constraints because let's say sometimes I find, you know, amazing partners and e-commerce HQ, but I might not have the funding or I might not have the right solutions in terms of, you know, capital. We're having this conversation about how sometimes you can be a implement a hybrid approach, right, with fractional solutions and all of that. So tell me a little bit more about that, because I know a lot of people don't really know that that's even possible. They think like either they go all in or they don't, right? And realistically, many of these solutions you can, you know, do it in different phases until you can afford the whole thing. So what is your experience with that as well?
So you brought up earlier, you know, you don't need a CFO yet or company that. So it's also on the flip side. So there's times where you are ready for something, but you're not realizing you are. So for example, I'm working with somebody that doing a $4 million and still working full-time job. And we discuss, you know, why you're still working a full-time job. It's like, well, I need the health insurance. It's like, you have a $4 million business. You can get health insurance.
Exactly.
You qualify for it. So it's a matter of knowing that, oh, okay. So many people in this space, they start off this as, you know, a side hustle, and they don't realize it's turning
into
a business. You know, this little side hustle became this $4 or $5 million company. And the mindset is still thinking of it as this is a side hustle, not that this is a full business. It can qualify for certain things like, you know, having health insurers, like having employees, like potentially having at least, you know, a fractional CFO or a fractional HR person. So, you know, it's knowing kind of where you are in that business, understanding that, you know, what's the mindset? Are you still thinking of this, you know, as a side hustle or as a business? I'll give you an example. So I've done this now at several different events. Well, I'll ask the audience, how many of you think of yourself as an entrepreneur? And most everybody's hands go up. And then I'll ask them, how many of you think of yourself as a CEO? And only a couple of hands go up. And then I ask them, which of those is on an org chart inside of a company? And only the CEO title is on an org chart. Entrepreneur is not. So that means they're not thinking of it as a business, because CEO runs the business. Entrepreneur is just somebody that gets things started. So at some point, they need to make that shift that, okay, I'm not just an entrepreneur. I'm not just a business owner. I am actually the CEO of this business. And as the CEO of this business, how do I need to be thinking about the business?
And I think, I think just to build on that top, because I just came from an event yesterday, Seller Sessions in the UK. And I saw that, like, I talked to people that are doing millions of dollars and they're working in the business that they basically build their own jail, right? They become slaves of their own things. Like, what's the point of doing all this sacrifice, all these long nights, if then you cannot take 1 week holiday because the whole business comes down? You see what I mean?
Yeah, they bought themselves a job.
Yeah. So I guess with that example I gave just there, like, let's say for Amazon sales, you know, the star hitting the seven figures and so on, because this is a question I get all the time. Like sometimes they don't know what is the first hire they have to do, right? And it's difficult sometimes to identify this. Like from your experience, I know this is gonna change from position to position. What is your goals with your company? But is there a consistency across certain categories that you think is definitely the one that bring the most change to a business if they have never hired before? What is your experience with
them? Yeah, so it's a combination, right? So one is where can that person make the biggest impact? And sometimes that impact is the work they're doing. And sometimes it's the fact that there's stuff that you don't like doing, but you need to be doing. But if you can outsource that, if you can give that to somebody else, there's a bigger ROI for you just because it's getting neglected or the quality is not going to be as good because you don't enjoy doing it. Even though it's not necessarily the next thing that needs to be done, it is just something that's getting neglected. So it depends on where you're at. And, you know, if you're not in that camp, then it just makes sense to take a look at the business. What's going to be the best ROI? Is it somebody that's going to help you on product sourcing? Is it going to be somebody that's helping you getting listings up there? Is it basically more of a marketing role or a products role, a sourcing role? You know, where is that going to give you the best ROI for what you're doing based on kind of where you're at in size? And down the road, you know, it can make sense to say, okay, well, now I am at a point where my business is at this level. Really, for me to optimize this, is I need to have somebody review it kind of from a financial lens, like bringing in a CFO and say, okay, you know, what's the models? You know, how do I model this out to say if I take this business from, you know, 3 million to 7 million, you know, how is this going to look? What's the financial models that needs to be in place? What's the cash flow situation going to be? And one of the other things to consider is what's going to break along the way, because there are things that are going to break because your existing infrastructure supports $3 million, not $7 million.
Yeah. And that was going to be my next point. I feel I'm sure a lot of people, when they come to the situation that they might go, let's say, to e-commerce sellers HQ to find a solution, it's already maybe too late. They're already breaking. And by the time they find maybe a solution, you know, they cannot adapt fast enough. So I guess going back to, you mentioned something very interesting, modeling. And that's actually something that I feel a lot of people don't do, because as you said, they have an infrastructure of 1 million, they go to 5 million, and they just try to copy paste the same thing on top of the thing to see if it works, or hire the same person twice to see if the effort multiplies. But it's not like that. So I guess when that situation come across, like, because I know you have experience with that, like, how you figure out what is the next tier in terms of structure? Do you have to do mistakes along the way? Is there a blueprint to follow? Like, what is your advisor? Yeah,
it's a mix, right? So sometimes there can be certain areas of a blueprint along the way. The other is, you know, there's models around, you know, who's the right person and what's the right seat, and understanding in that seat what needs to get done, what's the job that needs to get done. And if you have an understanding of that, you can say, okay, well, this is the work that needs to be done to get this kind of output. Now I just need to find the right person to fit that function to get, you know, to where we need to get to. So a lot of that is starting to look at the business from a system standpoint, because it's, you know, what started off as something you're passionate about over time becomes like a machine that, you know, there's pieces of this to make this whole kind of machine work. You know, just like if you're not giving your people enough vacation, it's like a part that's it's a gear that's starting to get worn down, that's not getting, you know, enough oil to keep, you know, functioning at its most optimal. So you want to start thinking, if you look at this kind of machine, that how do you keep this humming along? You're going to basically say, okay, how do I over time build this machine so it can scale? So, you know, like I said, most people initially the thought is like, this is my baby. I want to, you know, this is my product, and they get married to the, you know, the product and the idea. It's like, okay, this is what I'm passionate about. You know, I work with startup software companies as well as e-commerce, and that's always an issue. It's like, you know, they get married to the product or service or the solution, not the problem they're trying to solve for, not kind of the overall business. And that's where they have trouble letting go.
They fall into the trap of micromanagement as well. Sometimes I feel we think nobody can do things better than us. And by the way, that happens a lot in the Amazon community, like, because I go to a lot of events and I talk to people, And sometimes people, the reason why they may have bad experiences with service providers is not because maybe they're doing a bad job. It's just because they got into that toxic mindset that, you know, nobody can be on top of my business as they do. And at the same time, you see them be in the same place for 5 years and they don't grow, right? So it's super important.
And part of that journey, you know, when I'm coaching a lot of kind of the business owners and entrepreneurs, is there, you're going to get to a point, you're going to find comfort in letting go of all these different things except that one thing that you're holding on to. And that's probably the area that needs the most help, because your skill set is you're running a business. So you're only going to do that as well as you potentially can based on how much time and resource you have. There's going to be somebody that can come in that can probably do it far better than you in probably a lot less time and help you get to the next level. But you have to, A, be able to hire that person, and B, get out of their way.
Yeah, so exactly. They can actually and also sacrifice, because I think, of course, when you do those hires or hire that service, you need to understand that there is a honeymoon period. Like, it's going to be a few months that maybe you don't see the result, but again, it takes time, you know? And then people want the results straight away.
Exactly. Because, I mean, it's, think of it, if you look, once again, I go to my analogy of the machine, it's like there's a new part that came into this. And it's, you know, or almost, you know, I like watching football or soccer.
Yeah.
And, you know, if somebody came on the field, on the pitch, that's, you know, never played with the team, so they haven't synced with, there's not a harmony. It's just a new player that can be a top performer, but they can't do, you know, so much until they've kind of synchronized with the rest of the team.
Yeah, super important. And now I think we're going into the field of the cultural thing. And I think going back a little bit to Ecom Sellers HQ, like, is there something when it comes to culture, when trying to find a partner in terms of, you know, a service that you would recommend, that's a very important thing, because sometimes you can find an amazing partner that they know all the tricks up and down, but sometimes there's a mismatch in the culture side of things, you know? So, and even internally, I see that happens all the time. You could hire the perfect person, but there's a mismatch in terms of culture. So what is your experience with that as well?
Yeah, I mean, that happens, you know, ideally if they're a big enough company that, you know, the person you're working with is maybe, maybe it's the culture is expensive, or maybe it's, you know, it's a totally a mismatch between the two organizations and the vision, or sometimes it's just your key point of contact is not a good fit. The other part of it is understanding what is the scope of what the expectation with that relationship is. You know, when I'm working with a business, it's very holistic, because I want to look at, you know, every aspect of the business, from the ad stuff to the financials. So it's much more holistic. But, you know, a typical service provider is going to be siloed to, okay, I'm going to only look at kind of your ad business, or I'm only looking at your books, or I'm only looking at your sourcing, or I'm only helping on the product research. So they don't know what the rest of the business is doing. So it helps to have, you know, as a business owner, you want to understand, okay, well, this is kind of, they only have the limited scope of information because I'm just not sharing much, or do they have the expertise to take that information in and do much else with it? So, you know, that's where, you know, it helps if you have a sounding board, one person that at least gets the whole business to say, okay, well, this is what's working. This is what's not.
Yeah. You know,
what can I be doing differently?
Cool. Now, changing direction a little bit, I see that within e-commerce HQ, you also have a section for events, and I want to dive a little bit, a quick parenthesis on that, because I'm a big believer of events. Like, I go to a lot of them. So, you know, what is your take on events? Because some people say they're a waste of time. Some people say that actually it's very efficient when it comes to networking and learning. Like, what has been your experience when it comes to events so far?
So part of that's personality. I love events. I've been going to two this month, one going to one and later this week, one next week.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the e-commerce space, one of the things I've seen is that because the whole business is really, you're kind of sitting behind a computer working, events is a way to, you know, a typical company, if you're working in a big company, you would have, you know, company holiday parties. Like I was down in Austin for Amy Weiss's and Chelsea's party for a holiday, and Kevin King was there as well. So, you know, why is there a holiday party, and why does that many people show up to a holiday party in the e-commerce space? Is because most of these people don't have, you know, a 50 person company to have their own holiday party. They're like, okay, let's fly in, and feels like a company holiday party. So events serves, I think, a key function for that outlet to say, okay, here is, I'm kind of sometimes in my own bubble. Here's a kind of a outside perspective. Let me talk to some folks in real world. And sometimes just to, you know, have a human connection. And of course, you know, depending on where you're at kind of in your own e-commerce journey, some of this content can be very new. And we talked about earlier in the conversation, you know, there is a lot of new stuff coming. So there may be some new things coming around AI, or somebody's talking about TikTok shops. So there's a lot of newness that you can kind of get caught up on as well. Let's say, okay, well, what are some people doing with stuff already? So yeah, there's value there too.
Awesome. And now, a last thing, so we can start concluding, something I want to bring to the table is how, you know, we can combine some of these solutions we can find in terms of e-com sellers, HQ, and also the financial side of things. Because I think sometimes, as we mentioned, it's the right time to invest on some of these partners or experts to come on board. But sometimes the finance might be a little bit tight, or we might not have the solution to really afford us. But at the same time, you know, finance and capital is always there. A lot of companies use that to grow. And I know you have a lot of experience when it comes to that sort of things. So how do you recommend e-commerce sellers leveraging, you know, capital to maybe bring their business to the next phase? Because I know a lot of people is afraid to do that because they don't want to go into that. But sometimes, I mean, and we see all the huge companies is there to grow. So what is your take on that as well?
Yeah, I mean, I guess first off, it's people still think of debt as a four-letter word, and it's not. It really is in such a capital-intensive business. And I know I've met, you know, a lot of, you know, business owners that take pride, and I did this only on my cash. Own. I did it with cash. I did it with my own. But and nothing wrong with that. Yes, you can do that. You can achieve it, but you're going to only scale, but so fast. Exactly. And it is a competitive environment. So
time is money. If you take 2 years more to get there, your competition, you know.
Yeah. Competition. And I've seen, you know, people that will, you know, take a business 3 years, have an exit, turn around, start over again, and do it in 18 months and basically, you know, grow that much faster. So there is something about, you know, having speed in business. That's a critical element to it. Yes, you know, every big business, I don't know of any big business that's made it with just cash. They've all used leveraged debt in an intelligent way. So meaning that, you know, they're not looking just cost of capital. They're more specifically looking at ROI on capital. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were talking about that kind of the journey of like, if you're smaller versus bigger. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the early days, you're going to be thinking about it from a cost of capital because every penny counts. But as you start scaling up, you need to start thinking less about cost of capital and look at ROI capital. How do I take every dollar from the outside and do I have this machine in place that I can multiply it? Exactly. You know, can I get 3x, 4x on that dollar? Then if I have that systems in place, then it's like, okay, I don't want to sit there I want to take every dollar, but I want to look at it from a ratio to say, can I, instead of putting all my money into the business, can I say, can I do 50%, 60% of mine and then get 40% of it from the outside? Then you're being smart about it because you're not over leveraged and you're still in a position where you're using your own money, but you're also taking some of your money, hopefully out of the business. And, you know, because I see a lot of people that just keep feeding the machine, you know, just back with their own capital. And there's a lot of things that can happen. And in this business, I've seen $20 million companies that are basically almost to the point where they're gone inside of 30 days. So that's another thing I ask most people is like, you know, how many bad days can your business handle? And for most people, it's less than 30 days. And ideally, you want to understand your own cash conversion cycle and base it around that. So, I mean, if you're doing wholesale, probably 30 to 60 days is what you need, maybe up to 90. If you're doing private label, it's closer to 6 months. Mm-hmm. So you need to have that kind of reserve in place. That's why I partnered with, you know, kind of all the different financial players in the space, because I want to make sure when I analyze a business, I can sit there and say, okay, based on where you're at in the business, this is the different types of capital options. What's right for you based on where you're at and the type of business model you have? You know, are you doing private label? Are you doing wholesale? Are you doing arbitrage? Because different types of businesses need different types of capital.
Awesome. I mean, honestly, it's been an amazing episode. Thank you so much for sharing so much wisdom. Like, I think we covered so many, you know, many topics. Like, I think especially the one about, you know, when to hire the right partner, how to identify the right partner. That's so important because I have this conversation all the day. Every day people send me messages like, what do you think about this person? Should I hire now? Should I hire later? Where do I find capital? Which is the last point we just saw. So all these three things are always interconnected. And I think sharing some of that wisdom with our audience today has been great. So I appreciate that. And in case, you know, people want to ask you more things, because I know you have so much knowledge as you've been sharing the last 30 minutes. So how people can get in touch with you if they, you know, want to learn more about everything that you bring in terms of consulting.
Yeah. So you can just reach me. I'm just oz@ecomsellershq.com. Just oz@ecomsellershq.com. And as we're launching this, the only ask I have kind of for your community would be go take a look at the site and leave a review. So any service you've used or solution you used in the last 12 months, go leave reviews, help the feed kind of the rest of the community in the e-commerce community, help them kind of give some guidance. So that's in this space, that's all that really, you know, matters. In the e-commerce space, they get the value of reviews. So it's a fundamental piece.
Thank you. So it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. And I can't wait to have you in the next one. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Man. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Bye.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.